I hope everyone enjoyed their lunch as much as what I did. And I want to do something this year in the line of introducing our guest to you that I realized a few minutes ago that we hadn't been doing. And I'd like to start off with a word of prayer, especially for the Morrow family. So please join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come to you at this time, we come to you with glad hearts, joyful hearts, dear Lord, as we think of the great things that you have been working through the life of the Morrow family in the mission in Zambia, Africa. And God, each one of us give you thanks and praise for allowing us to have the privilege to be a small part of what you're doing there. We pray, O God, that you will continue to protect the Morrow family, even the ones that are here going to school and those that are still in Africa at the mission. But not only protect them and provide for all their needs, but, dear God, that you will continue to work your wonder of grace in the lives of each of the children that they have taken in. Heavenly Father, you have done such a remarkable job in bringing the native children to the orphanage and giving them a home and giving them life and a hope for life that it's something that only you could have done. And to you, oh God, we offer the praise and the glory and the thanksgiving for all this. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that you will continue to allow this mission to operate there, and that you will continue to work in the lives, not only of the Morrow family, but of each of the children that are there and the new ones to come. And that as these children grow and they go out of the orphanage and go into the world on their own, that they, oh God, will go out with Jesus Christ in their hearts and in their lives and in their minds and the things that they have been taught by the Morrows and the staff about how to have good, productive, godly lives, and they'll make a difference wherever you send them to live in the world as adults. We offer this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. I did a head count just a minute ago, and there's roughly 27 people in attendance here, not counting the three Morrows. So everybody look around the room, okay? Just look around the room at everybody that's here, okay? That's how many children are in the mission in Zambia, Africa, under the Morrows' care and supervision. Isn't that wonderful? Come on, that's wonderful. That's a good thing. Yes, that's a good thing. Okay, 27 and growing. And we have all been given the wonderful opportunity to be a small part of this, as you heard in my prayer, and it's a great thing. I rejoice, Amy, each year when you are here, because having been with you all from the very beginning, I am truly, truly blessed, Karen and I. We are truly blessed for having been allowed to be a part of what you're doing. You know, as we go through life, very few of us ever think about being a part of something great. For most of us, you know, being married and staying married to the same person, that's a great thing that we do. We have kids and we raise our kids, and then we get to help with our grandchildren, spoil them, if you will, so that it'll be difficult for their parents. And so those are some of the great things that we do, and those are truly great things. And then every once in a while, God allows us to be a part of His great plan, someplace, some way, some shape or form. Sometimes it may take on the part of a business, or sometimes it may take on the part of a ministry program. In mine and Karen's life, 12 years ago, I think, is what Jasmine told me it was. 12 years ago, I met Tom Morrow at church over in Pasadena. And I was in the process of my education stage where I was in the last class as a student at Dallas Theological Seminary. And that class was world missions. And God had placed it on my heart, the need for me to become personally involved in a mission of some type. But he didn't tell me at that point in time what it was, but it was eating away at my heart and at my mind. And I was trying to think, hey, I'm Baptist. I give to the Lottie Moon Project, or I give to this or to that. That's good enough. But it wasn't that personal involvement. And I go to church one Sunday morning not knowing that Tom Morrow is going to be there, and he spoke in our adult Sunday school group, which probably had about 25 to 40 people in it that morning. The room was full, however many people were in there. And Tom spoke. He was sure of one thing: God had called him and his family to go to Africa to be missionaries, and they landed on Zambia in part because the Zambian people spoke the English language. And they really didn't know what they would be doing when they got there. Doesn't that sound like God? he called me to do a mission. He didn't tell me what it was or where he was going to send me, but he called me to do it and said he would tell me what he wanted me to do as along the way as I go, right? And so that's pretty much what I gathered from Tom, that that's where they were. I believe you, Amy, and the kids were already over there at that particular time, and Tom was leaving just a couple of days after that. And God spoke to my heart and to my soul very, very plainly that he wanted me to be a part of what they were going to be doing over there. And I thought to myself, good Lord, I don't have any money. I barely feed myself. How am I going to be a part of this? It was very meager those first couple of years, wasn't it? But you know what? God is faithful. And if he calls somebody to do a work for him, such as he has the Morrow family, God provides for their needs. Okay? And since God called me to be a part of what that they were doing, God, I will say, because I had been faithful in being a part of what I was called to do, God has blessed me over and over and over again. And when I thought that I was to the maxed out point last year of God's blessings in my life, as far as my income on the job goes, I got a huge raise. And which, the point I'm trying to make is as God is faithful to us to give and increases our giving, if we remember our obligations, what God has called us to be a part of, and we are faithful in that and share accordingly in those areas where God has spoken to our hearts to be a part of, God just keeps increasing. And it's wonderful. it is wonderful. Oh, golly, I could think of hundreds of Bible stories, I suppose, or life stories that would illustrate that point a whole lot better than what I just did. But I just thought I would share that for some reason, and I hope you all don't mind. And anyhow, most of you have met Amy and at least Jessica. I get Jessica and Jennifer mixed up constantly. And we have another daughter here with us today, Jasmine. I am horrible with names. It is Jasmine. Okay, all right. And so, Amy, I'm going to shut up. You come on up here. I'll give it to you and let you do whatever you choose to do. God bless you, sweetie.
All right, good afternoon. Thanks to the progress that we made last year after I spoke, you remember, what was one of the big projects that we needed to raise money for last year? A boys' dorm and a girls' dorm, yes. And we got the boys' cottage done. The boys' cottage is complete, and we have 8 boys sleeping in there now, which freed up room to take in even more babies. So we grew last year. I think we had 23 children the last time I was here. We've now grown to 27 children, including one little guy that I haven't even met yet, because it seems like the moment I step out of the orphanage, a baby comes in. And so, which I'm happy for, but it seems funny that this time of year they tend to come in. So we have a little three-month-old baby, came into the orphanage weighing only 7 pounds. And he's now, in the last couple weeks, we've gotten him up to 8 pounds, which is still way too small for a three-month-old baby, but we'll take it because it's growth and progress. So, you know, the orphanage itself is growing. We have the foundation laid. We also spoke last year of the need for a school building. The foundation is now laid for that, and we're working toward getting the walls and ceiling done. So we are continuing to grow, and we're so grateful because we couldn't do it without all of you standing behind us. We're so thankful for your support. So now we're going to share the video, and this video is a little bit different. It's a bit of an overview of why we're in Zambia, why we're called to be there, and why we're called to do what we do. So I'll leave you with the video, and then we'll open the floor for questions afterward. Zambia is one of the fastest growing economies in the world. The large cities, like Lusaka, the capital, have big construction happening, and development is pouring into the country along with many of the modern conveniences we know around the world. This sub-Saharan African country is growing at a fantastic rate, but you wouldn't know it in the rural areas as you look around and see people living the way they have for the last 1,000 years. Farmers are still using methods passed on from generation to generation to grow their maize fields. There is no electricity, and women are forced to cook on charcoal braziers, which has given Zambia another dubious distinction as being the fastest deforestation rate in the world. Clean water is a big challenge in rural Africa. Most villages don't have running water, and many don't even have access to pumps like this that allow them to draw clean water. They resort to pulling dirty and contaminated water from rivers, streams, and shallow wells. This presents an even bigger problem when medical care is also limited. Many times people have to walk for miles just to reach a simple clinic, and then they might not find the supplies, medicines, and doctors that they so desperately need. To add to their struggle, Zambian families are large. The average family size is 6 children. Many of those around us have 8 or 10 children, and this puts a tremendous strain on their financial situations. Sadly, many girls are starting their families way too young. The World Health Organization states childbearing complications as one of the leading causes of death in adolescent girls, at a time when they should be playing childhood games or finishing their education. They are instead burdened with starting a family, many times as a single parent. HIV infection rates are extremely high in this country. It's a confirmed number of at least 14%, but we believe that number to be even higher. Many people do not go for testing because they don't want to risk being ostracized and cast out of their families. Community is so important here. When this happens and mothers are not tested, they pass on the HIV virus to their unborn children. There are now over 1 million orphaned and vulnerable children in Zambia.
with many of those being victims of the HIV/AIDS virus. When we began our construction on this home for children in 2006, it was estimated that only 1% of those children were even in homes of care. This means that many of them were homeless. We had a desire to build a home for children that would give them a place to grow up in safety and happiness, getting the nutrition and the care that they needed. Education is a high priority for us here at Kazembe Orphanage. By giving the children a solid education, we are equipping them with the tools they need to become the leaders of the future.
Six, seven, eight, nine, ten, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17.
We also believe that the first 5 years of a child's life is the most important time for development. We teach hand-eye coordination and other activities that help to prepare them for school. Intake age for Kazembe Orphanage is 0 to 2 years old. We focus on the most vulnerable, babies who have lost their mothers and without our care would likely not survive.
Here at Kazembe Orphanage, we have 3 bedrooms for children, a nursery, a preschool bedroom, and a boys' cottage. A girls' cottage will give us the ability to house 35 children. We also have a large kitchen and dining room to provide nutritious meals for all the children. 2 very important resources are the library and our own private clinic. Finally, our playground and swimming pool gives the children hours of joyful outside play. The foundation has also been laid for a school building containing 3 classrooms. To keep this project running, we hired 20 staff members from the local village. The nannies provide 24-hour care for the children and babies. We give weekly training classes teaching on childcare, health, hygiene, and much more. We have animals on our farm to help teach the children about the responsibility and compassion. Along with our dairy and meat goats, we also have ducks that provide meat for our kitchen and to sell in the nearby town. We have 100 chickens, which provide more than enough eggs for our daily use. The surplus is sold locally. We also reach out to the community, providing training, counseling, microloans, and volunteer work with the local agencies such as the Police Reserve and the Zambian Wildlife Association, helping with wildlife rescue and rehabilitation. Years, we have rescued nearly 50 different animals, birds, and reptiles.
We've talked about the many challenges that are in Zambia. We are committed to finding solutions and helping the children and people of Zambia for years to come. In the future, we'll be expanding the project even more to include a large farm with vegetables, fruits, and grains. We'll eventually have a middle school, a high school, and vocational training.
Many, many children will be helped through our work here. We believe in the future of this country. We believe in the future of these children. But we need partners to help us reach these goals. We need sponsors for the children. We need donors for the construction project. We need volunteers to give up their time. We need you.
it to me, it'll be, right? That wasn't enough for Tom. When God gives Tom an idea, he doesn't believe that it's over until, you know, he's gotten it done. And he tracked down the phone number for the publicist for CBS, found out his office hours. He's only in the office 1 hour in the morning, 1 hour in the afternoon, and he called him from Africa to ask his permission. I mean, I was like, that was just typical of Tom's faith, you know? Like, when God said, take your 6 kids and go to Africa and live in the bush, he said, okay, let's get her done. So the Lord's been really good this year and, you know, brought so many miracles. Did you notice that we have teachers now? Isn't that exciting? We're so thankful. It's taken off so much pressure off of Tom and I, knowing now that the kids have 2 more people that are there helping to give them the care that we know that they deserve. And so we're still praying for them because they came in for a three-month scouting trip and they don't want to leave. The problem is they came over on Saban. So when that runs out,
you know, they've got to raise their own support. So we're really praying, and please pray along with us that God can bring in the support that they need so that they can pay their bills, so that they can stay and do the job that God has called them to do. Because it's made such a difference in having those extra hands around the project to get things done. So the projects for this year, definitely the school building. That's our big focus for this year, is to get those classrooms up. But also, we're still working to make sure that all of our children are covered by sponsorship. So if you have not yet joined up to become a sponsor for children, we encourage you to do that. Now, you may be a sponsor already, and for that we are so grateful, but you could even take it one step further, become an ambassador. Take this word of this orphanage to your coworkers, to your family members, and encourage them. 10 people banding together with $35 means a child's, you know, top-to-bottom expenses are covered completely for the month. So that is a huge, huge blessing. If you know, 10 people, everybody knows 10 people, and everybody can just, you know, stretch a little bit and give $25, $35 a month. So become an ambassador for our project. If you can only give a little bit, find other people who can join together with you and become encourage them to become a part of Kazembe Orphanage, because it's an adventure and it's going on and it's going to be around for years to come. And like Ray said, he joined up at the beginning and he's been able to see it grow. And many of you have been watching us and following us and praying with us and giving support for years. You're all sharing in the blessings and you are all becoming a part of this work, and you're able to look at those children and feel that they are a part of your family as well. They're an extension of you and your faith and your service for the Lord. Do we have any questions?
Let me make a comment.
Yeah.
I know this doesn't need to be said. The video shows everything that they're doing with the children and the orphanage and the mission, and all that's well and good. It's great. But they're also Christian missionaries. They spread the word of God over there. Tom has done probably hundreds of evangelistic services in the bush there, especially during the formative years, showing the Jesus video and whatever. So it's not just a humanitarian campaign that they have going. This is a Christian ministry where Jesus Christ is the focus of everything that they do.
That's true. And that wasn't shown so much in the video, but I know that you know who we are and what we do. And he is definitely our focus. Right now we're running a Bible study with some of our staff members and just establishing them in the faith. And we are starting slowly, slowly, slowly to see results. One of the big changes, and I've talked about this in the past, is with the nannies that look after the children, we are having to teach them how to love the children, because they actually don't consider children to have value when they're babies. And they don't actually hug their own children. They don't show affection for their own children, much less somebody else's children. But we are now starting to see the young ladies that are working for us are reaching out on their own and giving affection to the children. They're carrying around the babies just because. They're establishing connections and bonds with the babies that is not done in Zambia. And that is that's a huge step of progress, and we're so excited for that. So yes, definitely there is an absolute and complete total focus on bringing Christ to the children. We have children's church every Sunday. And the exciting thing about doing the children's church is that there is a huge contingent of Seventh-day Adventist churches in Zambia. Now, for us, it's not a bad thing because they tend to be rule followers. They don't believe totally in salvation by grace, so they tend to follow the rules a lot. Not a bad thing when you kind of want that in an employee, right? And then they also go to church on Saturday, so they're free on Sunday. Therefore, our other church-going staff can go to church on Sunday, so everybody's happy. But because we're doing children's church, we've got all of those Seventh-day Adventist churchgoers in church with us on Sunday. So they're getting those stories that they never heard before, and they're getting those foundations. And there's many, many times when I'm like, so children, what Jesus is saying here is, and then there's a little mini sermonette that I'm hoping fall on a bunch of grown-up ears. So, yes, we're definitely reaching Zambia for Christ as well. Any other questions?
Review me again about how many you started with the first year. And as you get these children, are they already named or did you name some of them?
Both. We opened our doors at the end of 2007. So by the end of December of 2007, we opened in October. We had 5 children at the end of 2007, and we've been getting about 4 or 5 children every year since then. So, and they some of them come in with names, and some of them don't. The brand new babies that often don't have names, and so we'll name them. Some of them come in with funny names, and we'll rename them. So when we had this little boy that came in the first year, and his name was Hope. And he was just such a boy. I just couldn't imagine him going through life with the name Hope. So that got moved over to his second name, and he's now Henry. Just felt a little bit more manly to me. We had twins come in, and they were not named because their mother died in childbirth, and they were only 8 hours old. I don't know if you noticed. Their names are Luke and Leia. As any Star Wars fans out there, we had to have a little fun. I mean, how often do you have 27 children and get twins in the mix? So... My son wasn't happy. He said, Mommy, they're not puppies. Well, I'm going to run out of names, so I might as well have fun with some of them. So, yes, we do name some of them.
And how old are your oldest now?
Well, a funny thing about that, if you had asked me that question last year, I would have said, 6 going on 7. Well, we had a little boy. His permanent teeth grew in, and he was supposed to only be approaching 6. Like, wait a second, that's not right. Those teeth come in at around 7-ish, 8-ish, And so I started to watch him more closely, and he was definitely exhibiting behavior of an 8-year-old. And so we just told him one day, guess what, Elias? You're not 6, you're 8. Yay! He was one of the first that came to live with us, probably about child number 7 or 8, and we were not fully used to seeing children so malnourished and then trying to figure out where they stood. So we just accepted the word of the family members as to how old they were. There are no birth certificates. None of them come with birth certificates, and very few of them come with medical records, and a lot of those even that come are made up. And so what we hadn't fully anticipated when we opened our doors, when we set our parameters as taking children from 0 to 2 years old, we didn't know that people would lie to us. Because, if they want to get their child into the program and they can pass for 2 years, they're going to say they're 2 years old. So he was probably 4 when he came in, but he was little bitty. So now we kind of know. Now I open their mouth, let me see, let me count those teeth. And we pay attention a little bit more to details. But, if a child comes in and they've got special needs and they're, possibly not going to survive, will often go with it. Okay, there are 2.
When you have a mother or parents or somebody drop off a child to you, do you ever have situations where they come back and want them back later?
We haven't so far. That does happen in some orphanages where parents will wait until the child is old enough to work in the fields and then come back and collect them. Our children are not quite at that age yet where they would be a big help, so we haven't gotten it. But thankfully, we have gotten all the children put into our care by court order. So when they first come in, they sign paperwork saying that they're giving them over to basically foster care for the next 18, until they're 18 years old. And we now have it further established with the courts. So they would have to jump through a lot of hoops to even attempt anything. Now, we did have one child who's supposedly had, his mother had died and the father was unknown, and we just had a father step forward and say he was the father, and, you know, we said, well, he was welcome to go to the courts and try and appeal, but he would probably land in jail for abandonment, so it was his choice. So, now, having said that, we're still kind of trying to walk that fine line. I mean, that's a family tie. And, you know, we want the children to be able to preserve their families, you know who their families are. So it's a difficult situation. And it's just one day at a time, and a lot of it we have to, you know, oh, we never anticipated that. Okay, let's see what we're going to do. But as of now, no one has come for the children. And they are protected. So, go ahead.
Does anyone ever want to adopt any children?
Sometimes people do ask about adoption. As far as local Zambians, not really. Zambians don't usually extend adoption to members outside their family. And even within their family members who have passed away, they don't generally think of adoption so much. As far as international adoption, we didn't realize that was even open to our children, because from the way the laws were up until even this past year, the child had to be completely abandoned, like no grandparents, no aunties or uncles anywhere, to be able to be ready for adoption. And most of our children have family members. But we were just told by social welfare that our children could be available for adoption if family members signed them away. So we're not sure where the Lord will take that. On our side, we would like to see these children grow up in Zambia and become the leaders of Zambia, to be fully Zambian, to know Zambian culture, to speak Bemba, and then to turn around and pour back into the country and, you know, use their Christian faith and leadership for the Lord. But having said that, I'll go back again, if the Lord brings a child and a family together and just, you know, has a real heart connection there, we won't say no. We don't know what the future holds. We do work with other orphanages in Zambia. Most of the orphanages are in the capital city, and we try not to move the children from one corner of the country to another. There are very few orphanages in our area. There is another one that's an hour away. That's not too bad off. They seem to care for the children in an okay way. And so occasionally, if a baby comes to us and we simply do not have the bed space, we will coordinate with them to take the children. Yeah. Yes? The government in Zambia is democratic for the most part, kind of democratic with a dictatorship twist, because the president, we kind of like to call him effective immediately. So he tends to make these rules and just say, this is the way it's going to be, effective immediately. Forget about the parliament passing it through. Yeah, well, unfortunately, it's not limited to Zambia. But we do have an elected president. Now, the government is more like the British system. They have an elected president, and then they have a parliament. And I don't exactly understand how it all works, but it's supposed to be democratic. And then there are traditional rulers, chiefs and things that work within so in our village, we have a chief. And he has sub-chiefs under him, and they kind of help with the day-to-day ruling of the people. So things don't have to go all the way up the chain unless there's a big problem. So it's kind of a mix between traditional and modern. We're in a holding pattern. Basically, you know, he's used to people bowing down and, you know, worshiping him, and we're not inclined to do that. That's not in our American makeup, and so he doesn't get along with us so well. We try to give him the respect that he's due, and his opinion of what he's due and our opinion of what he's due varies. we are not having any problems, but nothing really is happening in that area either. So generally, if volunteers come, they go out to meet him, to show him, you know, that respect that we're acknowledging that you're the ruler here. But we don't work on any projects or programs with him at this time. So, and we actually are almost eligible to apply for residency in Zambia, which will mean that we no longer need work permits, and we will be able to kind of get out of even that tie that we have to the chief at the moment. He's technically our employer. He's the one that says, you can be in this area, tells the government, yes, I want them to work here. So, working toward that, it'll be nice. Yes? Sub-Saharan, so we're right next to the Congo. If you know where Zaire, the Congo, Democratic Republic of the Congo is, we're just to the east of that, southeast. And we have the map, so it's below the equator, but fairly close to the equator. And we have even sunrises and sunsets, because we're so close to the equator, we don't have the big changes in daylight that you would have here in the U.S. The sun comes up six-ish and goes down six-ish all through the year. Now, we do newsletters every so often. We send out newsletters, and we also write a blog fairly often. So in the spirit of getting even more up with the times, we have a QR code. Any of you have a smartphone with a QR code reader? You can read the code, and it'll take you to the form on the Internet where you can sign up for our newsletter. So that'll be in the back for any of you smartphone users. For anybody that's traditional, as I am, you can use our sign-up sheet. You can sign up to be subscribed to our newsletter and our blog, and you'll get those in your email box whenever they come out. We have calendars back there. We've got coffee cups from last year, so if you didn't get a coffee cup last year and you'd like one, you can get one now for half price. And then I'm putting out new coffee cups with this year. We can't fit the boys and the girls all together in one big group shot anymore. We have to have two pictures. So the new coffee cup will have boys and girls and the picture of the building. So that I'll let the church know when those are available. So a lot of exciting things to look at on the pictures. Any more questions? Yes. Right now we can take 20. Yeah, well, the boys' wing is finished, and so we can take in probably another two or three children without being too crowded, and then we'll need to get the girls' cottage built, and that will hold 8 to 10 children, right? 8 children. So after that, we'll be moving to another property, taking the older children to another property, because we want to have the new property is going to have spaces for, you know, like a soccer field and bigger farming and, you know, this is going to be for elementary and down, and then we'll have the middle school, high school property. So we anticipate having 100 children in the program eventually in the future. So I think we can fit about 35 children on our place at the moment. Yes, it is, absolutely, yes. Well, thank you. It's a good thing I enjoy writing. It's a release for me. So I'm glad if what I like to do gets to be enjoyed by others. Thank you. I appreciate it. Yes, we do, actually. We have volunteers are always welcome, and we have several coming out over the summer. So, yeah, our doors are always open for volunteers. Anybody that wants to come out?
We got one ready here.
Yes. We have three seasons for the weather. We have cold and dry, and by cold, that's kind of relative because you can still swim. So you might put on a sweater in the morning or the evening, and for the Zambians, it's cold because it's a big change. So usually come June, they've got winter hats on and coats and everything, but we're still swimming. So, you know, that's why I say it's relative. So it's cold and dry, and then we have hot and dry, which is September, August through October. And that it gets fairly hot, but nothing unbearable. And since it's dry, it's much more tolerable. And then we have warm and wet, which is November through April. So it's three distinctive seasons. Yeah, it's our rainy season. And it seems to alternate. We'll have one month where it's just raining, and then another month where it's raining off and on, and then again raining. And anybody who follows our adventures knows that rainy season is not real popular because of the lightning strikes, which we've done everything we can to prevent. We have huge lightning rods, and we've got grounders and everything, but it just, bam, comes out of nowhere. And it does, lightning does strike twice in one place, contrary to popular opinions. So. All right, any other questions? If not, I'm happy to talk with you next to the displays as well, if you'd like to ask more questions about the kids, if you have any favorites. I know we're not really supposed to, but if you have any favorites that you've been following over the years and you want to talk to me about them, you know, I'm ready to answer any of your questions. So, thank you so much for having me.
Mother of six, so that it's so like, Jennifer, Jessica, Jessica.